Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, that one person. Good afternoon, that one person. Oh, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Hello and welcome to this this workshop. And please note, this is not simply a breakout group. This is a workshop in that you're gonna do some work in this. And in the next hour, you're actually gonna develop, if not a full story to tell, the seeds of a potentially really powerful personal story about climate change that may be very different than the kinds that you've been asked to do before. And to assist me with this, I have two assistants who are gonna help out with this whole process. So we're gonna quick just introduce ourselves and jump right into climate and the art of storytelling, telling better climate stories. My name is Peterson Toscano. I live in Pennsylvania. I am the co-leader of a chapter in central rural Pennsylvania, and I'm the host of Citizens Climate Radio.
Hello, my name is Dr. Tasha Reddy, and I am the regional coordinator for the state of California.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Dell, and I'm from Traverse City, Michigan, and I'm a regional coordinator, a co-regional coordinator for the Great Lakes region.
So we're interested in telling stories, stories that come from the heart, stories that capture people's attention. If you noticed this morning in the presentation, there was the story from the one presenter who's from Nepal. And she started out her presentation with a story and the life that it had, that, you know, this was a very carefully told story that grabbed people's attention. And when we're talking about climate change and story, truth is more important than fact. Truth is more important than fact. Now, do not misinterpret this. I'm not saying facts are not important. Facts are essential. But people fight against facts. They judge facts. They get right to their heads. But what's the truth of climate change? What's the truth about the times that we live in? What's the truth about how it has affected us, what it means to us? That's, in a way, what storytelling tries to do, is get to the heart of the truth of a matter, of why it is important helping people to understand climate change. And I'm sure you've heard this multiple times. Anytime you're told to do a presentation, always know your audience and connect with your audience. Right after the presidential election, I went to the local Chamber of Commerce for a breakfast where a Republican lawmaker was speaking, one of the most Republicans in the country. And I live in one of the most conservative districts in the country, and I really want to connect with my audience, with my neighbors. And I went to this breakfast in, 8 in the morning with a suit and tie, not my normal attire for the morning or most days, except once a year when I come to DC to lobby. And I knew the crowd. I mean, already they were very excited about the election, very excited and hopeful about Donald Trump. And we're sitting there, and the first thing, of course, people do is they want to know, so what do you do? Well, for me, this is kind of complicated. I travel a lot, and I do a number of things that could potentially really piss people off. So I am a Bible scholar, I am a climate change advocate, and I am an LGBTQ rights activist. And so I'm sort of looking at this crowd and I'm thinking, okay, so what do you do? I said, well, I'm a public speaker. And of course, they wanted to know, well, what do you talk about? I said, well, I'm a Bible scholar, and that sort of got some nice nods because people had been already talking about their church and everything. And I said, yeah, I'm a Bible scholar, but I'm really considering these days a strange question, like, what does the Bible have to say about climate change? And this one woman nearly lunged across the table, what does the Bible have to say about climate change? And I thought, oh, you're curious? And how wonderful it is when people are asking us to know more, as opposed to the other way around where we're like, please, please, please listen to me. I have to tell you something so important. And so know your audience, figure out, like, where are they coming from? Don't like make up a whole new identity to connect with them, but figure out, what do I have in my life that might be interesting to them, that will connect to them? And then make them curious about climate change. Right? This is a word we don't hear a lot when we're talking about climate change presentations, curiosity. But I want that person to pump me for information, to just kind of demand I tell them more. And often when I speak at college campuses a lot, I'll just throw out certain things about like how I'm concerned about climate change as an LGBTQ issue, and how it affects LGBTQ people differently than non-LGBTQ people. And then I just move on. I don't ever say anything. They're like, wait, could you explain that? I'm like, do you really want to know? Yes, we want to know. Okay. If you insist. So your first activity that you're gonna do, we're gonna jump right into an activity in a moment, is about this. How do you create a statement that's true to you that you can say to somebody that can potentially make them incredibly curious where they'll ask to know more? So for me, in my case, for instance, I'll often talk about, you know, like I see climate change as an LGBTQ issue, or as a person of faith, as a Christian, I see it very much as an issue that has a lot to do with my faith. And when I'm in the pool at the YMCA in the morning, kind of going around with the other people who are just doing water walking, and I'm like, it's the one place I could be the youngest person in the pool. I'll sometimes say something like, yeah, I'm really concerned about climate change because of how it affects our pets. And people are like, wait, what? Climate change affects our pets? And so the key to this is, how do we make people curious in a way that disrupts the normal way they think about climate change? And the normal way is, it's either a scientific issue, a political partisan issue, or it's an environmental issue. And so part of it is thinking about something in your life that isn't explicitly about politics, about the environment, or even science, but that's connected to climate change. And Tasha and Elizabeth are gonna help us with this and give us some modeling of this. This is gonna be your first prompt, and I'm gonna give you help with it. But basically, it's moving beyond environmentalism, where you can say, I'm concerned about climate change as a Black Lives Matter issue, which I am concerned about climate change as a Black Lives Matter issue. So why don't we come on down and we'll share. And this is how you're gonna do it too, when we'll have some volunteers come up and you'll do your own sharing. And I'll give you a chance to think about this prompt, and don't worry, you'll be surprised at the creativity that explodes from your brains. So modeling this, who would like to go first? Tasha, you wanna go first?
Testing.
So climate change, so we're gonna make believe we're just kind of meeting up in a cafe. Hey Tasha, how you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm good, Peterson. Not much is going on, just hanging out here in DC with 180 Californians.
They must love the weather. What are you here for? Why are you here?
I'm here for a conference where we're actually here to go to Capitol Hill and ask Congress to do something about climate change.
Yeah, I'm not interested that much in climate change.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people aren't. Personally, I'm interested in climate change as an issue for my autistic nephew.
Climate change is an issue about your autistic nephew? I don't understand. Could you explain that to me?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Peterson. So, my nephew is 9. He has very limited communication with us. He doesn't speak at all, and he is constantly with therapists, working with him, trying to develop a communication, way to communicate with him. And his absolute favorite therapy is in the summer, the swimming pool in my sister's backyard. He's taught himself to swim, not any strokes. He does this sort of floating around the pool thing. And he is actually faster than I am to get from one side of the pool to the other with his made-up strokes. And so how this relates to climate change, right? California has been in so many droughts, and the droughts in California are going to get much, much worse, meaning that backyard swimming pools will go dry. So the most effective therapy for him, and the thing he loves most in the world, swimming, will no longer be an option for him.
And what you heard, Tasha is not just talking about climate change, but she's telling some of her story. She's revealing some of her history, her family, and connecting it in a way that suddenly the heart gets engaged, too. Let's give her a round of applause for sharing that story. Hey, Elizabeth, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Peterson?
Are you still on that climate kick that you were on, or have you moved to something else?
I am still on that climate kick. I know. I've been on it for a long time now.
Yeah, I wish I could. I just don't really care that much about polar bears. They're kind of fierce.
Yeah, they are pretty fierce. Yeah. I agree. I wouldn't want to meet one face to face.
I need to be protected from them. Yeah, so I wish I had a compelling reason to be involved with climate change.
Well, polar bears, yeah, that, you know, I think they're beautiful, but... You know, there's one thing that makes me concerned about climate change, and I see all the refugee crises that are happening right now, and that really concerns me, especially when I see the children involved in this and the suffering that they're going through. And you know, they're helpless. They don't have any power. They don't have any control over what's happening to them or any say in what they're doing, and they're still, you know, very vulnerable, and so I just really worry about children.
Well, I see that. I mean, they are vulnerable, but what does that have to do with climate change, though? I mean, these are political things that are happening.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, there's a lot more extreme weather now, and so with more droughts and extreme weather events, rain events, people are being displaced. I mean, you can see it here in the United States with hurricanes, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Irma. But in other parts of the world, too. And not only that, but people who know a lot about national security say that it really contributes to, you know, places where there's already political conflict, that this climate change impacts can make it even worse.
You know, it's interesting when you're saying this now. It just reminded me, my little town in central Pennsylvania, since Hurricane Maria, there have been a lot of Puerto Ricans who have moved to the area, and like these kids have to go to new schools, and I never thought of that as a climate thing in my own community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Let's give her a little round of applause there. And Elizabeth was willing to say, you know, come, I'm going to be the person who, like, I don't fully have my story together. She was like, can I, you know, I'm going to present that. And I was like, that's a gift, because that's where most of us are going to be at. And so, you know, the one thing I was thinking as you were starting, you know, figure out how you can create a hook that would even kind of drag me in, confuse me a little bit maybe,
right,
but drag me in more. But also that brings your heart in. Right, because obviously, and we'll hear a little bit more about this later, you have a real heart for refugees and for people who are suffering outside of the United States. So there might be a way in creating that initial hook that you can bring me in even a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and so like maybe like say like, you know, like you're looking for a reason for, you know, be care about climate change. Well, you know, I really care about refugees a lot, and I see this as a refugee crisis issue that's really moving me. And when you start bringing in your feelings into it, then I'm a little bit, I'm not maybe always interested in the issue, but if you're my friend, I'm concerned about your feelings.
Right.
And that could help with that tie. So we're going to do probably this is the most radical thing that we're going to do in this workshop, and we're going to do it twice. So we have this prompt, and I'm going to give you a full 3 minutes of absolute silence to sit and think about it, which for some people, that's really uncomfortable. I'm a Quaker. I can comfortably sit in silence for up to an hour, so I'm down with this. But so often in workshops, we're given a prompt, and then we have to start talking before we've done any thinking. And if you're someone who you could talk right away, well, talk to yourself in your head at that time. But for the other ones of us who really need the time, take this time. So here's your challenge. You want to get beyond environmentalism. So you want to say, I'm concerned about climate change because it is this type of an issue. Something that could potentially make someone curious, that they want to ask more. Something that obviously is personal to you, and you're not just concerned about climate change. Obviously, you're concerned about lots of things. So looking at the models that you've heard so far, see what you can come up with. And I'll give you 3 minutes. Are there any questions about this prompt? Any clarifying questions you need to ask? All right? And absolute silence means that no words come out of your mouth. Just want to make sure we're all clear about that. Even when you're done and your buddy's next to you, you're like, blah, 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 I will call you out. All right, begin. 3 minutes, think. We have one more minute. Thank you for taking that silence seriously. I really appreciate that. So in a moment, I'm gonna have you turn to a partner and you're gonna get to practice this with someone and share. And hopefully one of two things, or maybe both will happen, that the person would be a little bit like shocked, like, wait, what? How does that have to do with climate change? And if even if they're not shocked, they may be like curious to know more. Like, so in a way, Tasha was a good example of someone who was shocked, like, wait, what does that have to do with it? While Elizabeth's was maybe more obvious, but that's okay because it's interesting and it's not how I would normally think about climate change. So you're trying to create a new way of looking at climate change because someone, again, may not be interested in polar bears, but might be very much interested in refugees. Part of it is knowing your audience, so you might have a bit better sense when you're not talking to a specific person. But for our purposes today, you're just gonna go to a partner. And how it'll work, on the count of three, I'll say three, just find a partner, and you're each gonna take a turn. Don't take a long time with this, just turn to the person and just say, I'm concerned about climate change as a blank issue. And when you hear that, as the listener, turn to the person, and if you're genuinely interested, or you're genuinely confused, ask a follow-up question that makes sense. Like, why is that? Explain that to me. And you don't have time to go into a big, long story in the explanation, but you can then say one line, kind of beginning of a story, of a conversation, of why that issue that seems so disconnected to climate change is for you. So the first person goes, should take about a minute, minute and a half the most, and then the next person goes, so you each get a chance. Does that make sense? So on the count of three, you're going to turn to a partner and you're going to just go through that scenario of why you're concerned about climate change. Do you need me to tell you when to switch? I'll tell you when to switch. I didn't say 1, 2, 3 yet. 1, 2, 3. And switch, if you haven't, switch. When you're finished, look up at me. You have 30 seconds. All right, wrap up your thought and look towards me. Let me see your eyes. It breaks my heart to break up this wonderful buzz of activity. I'm just like dying to hear all that you're saying. But we need to keep moving along. But I want us at least to capture a little bit of what you've created. And so we're going to ask in a moment for three volunteers to come forward and to sort of do what we've already done to sort of model this kind of thing. I'm particularly looking for people who got something, even for them, a very fresh new idea that they not maybe hadn't thought of before, and something that is clearly not an the typical environmentalist climate conversation. And so if you have something and you want to do it and you're not being volunteered by someone else, it's very sweet of you to do, raise your hand and we're each going to choose one person. Oh dear, that's hard. Yeah, go ahead. You have to... Okay, who's my person? In the back there, yes, you, yeah. Yeah, the black sweater. Yeah, come on up. All right, you have a person to pick. All right, sorry for the others, but if you, this is a prompt that I have ongoing out there for my radio show, Citizens Climate Radio, and there is even a call-in line so that you can leave a voicemail for this. So in your program, there's an ad for Citizens Climate Radio right at the back, and there's ways, you just go to the site, you can figure out how to contact me, and you can leave your prompt there as well. So who would like to go first? Marcy, hey, how are you? So Marcy, we're at a cafe. Hey, how you doing, Marcy? A long time no see.
I'm doing great. So, I remember your workshop from last year, by the way, and that's why I'm back.
Well, that's really good. So, yeah, climate change, what's up with that?
Well, you know, I am really concerned about climate change because I'm a 65-year-old daughter.
Wait, you're a 65-year-old daughter, eh? That doesn't make sense that you're 65. But wait, what does that have to do with it being a... Everyone's talking about their children. What does it mean to be a 65... Explain.
Well, last October, I woke up to the smell of smoke. And I went outside on my deck, and the sky was black and smoky. And I turned on the television to see that Santa Rosa was burning. And Santa Rosa is where my 91-year-old mother lives. So I got on the telephone to her facility, and there was no answer. And then I started calling shelters, and I couldn't find her. And so for 3 hours, I couldn't connect with my mother. And I got pretty scared about where she was and what was happening with her. Finally, she was able to get to a phone and call me. She didn't have a cell phone. She didn't know how to work it. But you know what I realized living in Northern California is just how at risk someone like my mother is, who's 91, and you know she doesn't know what to do. And so that turned on a light bulb that I hadn't had before.
You know, this is, when you're saying this is incredibly meaningful to me too, because I do a lot of work with senior citizens who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and many of them don't have children who are checking in with them. And there's this whole need within our community to look after each other when these events come. Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. Let's give a round of applause. I like, too, the playfulness, in a way, of the beginning of that, because we're always told, let's do it for the children. It's like, no, let's do it for the parents. Let's, you know, let's be involved because of our parents. That's what's really lovely. Thank you. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Your name?
Destiny.
So, Destiny, what's up with climate change? You're into it because of what?
Yeah, so I'm concerned about climate change because it means I'll have to wake up earlier and earlier each morning.
Yeah, I don't know what Twitter feed you're following. What are you talking about? That makes no sense.
So I'm a runner, and I like to wake up in the morning to go on runs. And I don't know about you, but during the summer, it gets pretty hot pretty early in the day. So in order to beat the heat, that means I'll have to be waking up, I don't know, like 5:30, 6 in the morning. And I'm young, and I need my sleep, so.
That's really good, yeah. Let's give a round of applause. Thank you. And of course, if you're speaking to another runner or someone who is, you know, connected to a runner, that makes sense. But it also puts something fresh and different in a person's mind about climate change. Because I think that's part of it. Again, it's trying to stir up the creativity. So someone may say, wow, I wonder if there's other things that people have to get up early. What about people who work outside? And like their brains can begin to open up to consider other scenarios. All right, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? So, we're still in the cafe. Did you order something nice?
You see those pies up there?
Yes. Are there any vegan ones? Because apparently it's popular.
Well, I can't. But that's what I'm worried about, the pies.
Well, I'm always worried about pies, but I've. But in conjunction to climate change, I'm not quite sure how.
Well, you've probably heard of Georgia peaches, South Carolina peaches. You know where you get the best peaches? North Carolina. And it's peach season. And what's better than a pie made with fresh farm stand peaches? And last year, what happens with the peaches is they bloom early. And if you get a hot spell in February or so and they bloom and then you get a freeze in March, to wipe out the peach crop. And last year, we came this close to losing the North Carolina peach crop and also that close to losing the strawberry crop. And that's just one of the simple joys of summer is biting into that fresh peach and making pies out of them.
Yeah, and when you say that, I also think of, like, the people who grow them. Like, that's their whole, like I'm sure for some of those people, like, that's their almost year's worth of money that they get. I mean, they get so much from that, and then they're just like, wow.
So save the pies.
Save the pies. Not enough. All right, so very, very good work. That was good, but now you're ready to go deeper? All right, so in talking about climate change, two things I find are really, really important. One is we need to get out of our heads. So many climate presentations force us to get into our heads. Again, this is getting back to truth is more important than fact. So part of it is to tell a story that focuses on your feelings. One for which you can be vulnerable. And this is really critical because when we're vulnerable with another person, it gives them permission and a space that they could become vulnerable with you. I just did a piece for Citizens Climate Radio where we looked at the mental health effects of climate change and the psychological effects. And there is a huge whirlwind of emotions that everybody is experiencing around climate change. But the thing is, climate change is such a big issue, it's hard to even tap into those. So that's why in addition to being vulnerable and focused on our feelings, it's important to speak in metaphor. So when you identify a feeling you have about climate change, it's really helpful to connect it to maybe another moment in your life, maybe when you were quite young, where you felt something similar. And it doesn't have to do with the environment. It doesn't have to do with, like, there's less snow, there's more snow, none of that. And I'll give you an example. When I became very concerned about climate change back in 2012 and started coming to CCL gatherings in 2013, and I, you know, had that initial moment about, like, getting involved with climate change, seeing how serious it was, it brought me back to 2004, like that. And it was when my sisters and I, my mom told us that she was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And she's a very independent kind of woman. She'd never spent any time in a hospital other than to give birth to us. And she made it very clear, like, I want to die at home. And I would, you know, and if you're able to, I'd like, you know, I would love your help. So basically, our mom's asking us to be there with her to the end and to be the primary caregivers. And I remember, amongst all the feelings of shock and grief and all that, this feeling of, I can't do that. I don't have the skills, the strength, the stamina to do that. And then we began. And the thing that shocked me was my sisters and I discovered these unbelievable resources deep inside of us that we had to do what was really impossible. So much so that even after it was all done and our mom was gone, I look back and I don't even know how we did it. I mean, it just seemed out of our hands. And so those two feelings of feeling completely unable and then shocked to discover these inner resources, when I think about climate change, that's what I remember. That's what it reminds me of. So Tasha and Elizabeth are gonna share similar stories, not perhaps as intense as mine in that way, but part of it is about getting to an honest, vulnerable place to tell a story, not about climate change, but about ourselves. So Elizabeth, do you wanna go first? So when you think about climate change, what does it remind you of? And tell the folks out there.
Right. So when I think about climate change, it reminds me of when I was young and I'd watch the news. That was, I don't know how many people watch the evening news anymore, but we always watch the evening news in my house, Walter Cronkite and then others later. And I remember always feeling really impacted by stories that I'd see, particularly about famine. I think during, you know, my youth, there was a period where there were a number of famines. There was the Ethiopian famine, which some of you might remember. The Band-Aid came out with Do They Know It's Christmas? And then USA for the World, I think that's what they were called, did We Are the World, or USA for Africa, I mean, did We Are the World. And so there's, you know, so much in the news about it. And I just remember always worrying about this and wondering, you know, why was I, you know, living this nice, comfortable life while there are people suffering so horribly in other parts of the world and just feeling incredibly helpless as a young person, you know, not knowing, you know, what could I do? And so that makes me think of citizens' dealing with climate change now and climate action, because I know that I do have power now, so I can do something about it.
So the feelings, what would you say some of the feelings then that are part of your story you just shared?
I felt guilty. I felt helpless. Sad, very, very sad. I've always just empathized with people who are suffering. I also was always interested in reading stories about World War II and the Holocaust. I think I just have a strong sense of empathy.
And the climate story really has begun to tap in for you with empathy today then as well then?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, so it reminds you of that period. And would you say, obviously you cared about stuff before, but this was the first issue you remember from your childhood that you really felt strongly about?
I think so. I mean, I think any of those kinds of stories of human suffering, and particularly of young people, of children.
Yeah. Yeah, stories about firsts in our life often can be very powerful stories. The first time I did something. So thank you very much for sharing that story. Tasha, would you like to share your story?
I would love to share my story, Peterson. So I'll just start by saying this is a work in progress. and I'm going to use my notes a bit, but here goes. Climate change reminds me of having a manic episode. Burning fossil fuels is like experiencing mania. It feels great. You're flying high with no worries. Your family and friends are warning you to be careful and suggesting that you take medication to bring you down from a business as usual high. And there's kind of two possible outcomes there. Either you fly high and you crash and burn, or you take some medication and come down steady and stabilize.
This is the key that we're looking for, is how do we draw from our emotional past or even our emotional present, but with an issue, again, that is not connected to climate change, really. You know, I've had one person maybe in this room, gave an excellent example last year, was, you know, when I think about climate change, it reminds me of when I first was going through puberty. And I just like had no control over what was happening in my body, and I had no idea what the outcomes were going to be. Somebody talked about when they first got involved with CCL, it reminded them of when they first got involved with the Boy Scouts, and that exhilaration of finally being in a place where they can be with other people who were like-minded. So again, we're gonna give you 3 minutes, and your prompt is, when I think about climate change, it reminds me of, and you do not need to have a full-fledged story. You may end up coming up with something that's very personal that you don't want to share, and that's completely fine. But I'm going to give you 3 minutes of quiet, absolute silence, to think about this prompt. Any questions about the prompt before we go into it? Yes, in the back.
Should we pick different partners or the same?
Don't worry about the partners yet, but I'm probably going to have you do the same partner just to keep for time purposes. But this is a good question. Any other questions about the prompt or? All right, so when I think about climate change, it reminds me of. Let your mind travel to a place. 3 minutes. That's 3 minutes, but if you want or need more, raise your hand. Give another 20 seconds. A lot can happen in 20 seconds. Again, thank you for taking that quiet so seriously. Our stories are precious, and sometimes they're too precious to share, or too precious to share with everyone. And you know, and so when you choose to tell your story, it is your choice to tell your story. And it is a gift that you're giving to somebody. Truman Capote had this naughty, naughty little trick he would do. He'd get together with some socialite, have a bunch of drinks, it was so inappropriate, and then he would say something really embarrassing about himself, like, just like, oh, do you know what I do? And he would say something really embarrassing, and then he would say, now you go. And he compiled like dossiers on all of these people, of all the dirt on them. But although I do not suggest you do something naughty like that, the principle is true, though. When I share something of me, there is an openness for that person to say, oh, well, that I want to tell you, you told me that, so I want to say something about me. And with our storytelling, our idea is not to get them into CCL or to get them on board with climate change, but to open them up to feel, to think, to connect with you, because they're connecting you with climate change, and they're connecting your personal story with climate change, and they're going to get drawn closer and closer in. So with that, I want you to take time to go, on the count of three, I'll have you turn back to your partner and briefly, you won't be able to tell the whole story probably, but begin to fill in the blank and tell a little of that story. I'll listen up because I'll tell you to switch at one point, and if you hadn't switched at that point, do it at that point. And again, we'll have some volunteers come up afterwards, but don't worry about that right now. So one, two, three.
Counting worked that time. Last time y'all started talking before you even counted. So I totally didn't mean to make that awkward for us. I was just like,
I don't know if you want to say something, but I feel like you can tell me like you don't want to think about that.
No.
It's not about me, it's not about you. Like, I don't know.
Do
you think you're transparent enough?
If you haven't done so yet, switch. If you haven't done so yet, switch.
Volunteer.
Well, if you let me come down.
I'll give you 30 seconds. Wrap up your thought and look to me. Okay. All right, let me see those eyes. Don't raise your hands yet. I have some prompts and questions for you first. Again, as a storyteller, it breaks my heart to cut this flow because I know some amazing things are happening. I just want to kind of survey the room for a moment with a raising of the hands. How many of you, in doing this activity, either thinking about it or sharing it, felt at least one, if not more, strong emotions stir up inside of you? Okay. And I'm just going to, with my hand, scan the room. And when I get to you, those folks who raised your hand, just shout out what those emotions were. Name those emotions so we can just hear them. Just shout them out as I wave my hand. All right, now I'm gonna do it again, and I just wanna hear from the people towards the back of the room, because that's, sadly, I couldn't hear them because everyone had strong feelings. And towards the back of the room. Wow, it's such a mixed emotion. Inspiration, love, sick to the stomach. We have very strong feeling. And in storytelling, you know, that's part of it. We're tapping into that part of us and not just this part of us. So with that, here's the very hard task, you know, of choosing three people to come forward and to tell a story. And again, if you contact me through radio@citizensclimate.org, we can talk about how we can share your story in a wider venue if you want. So if you feel you've got something that really worked, that's you know, kind of the beginning of a powerful story, raise your hand. I got a hand in the back, got... hand there with the beard, and did you have a story?
No, I had a question, not quite yet, I didn't explain in my talk how I've a story that you next to bring in, but if I'm telling a powerful story about my past, like with Tasha, maybe the opposite to Tasha didn't make me want to hear anymore about climate change.
Okay, I'll let people hear that question in a moment. And one more right there with the blue shirt and the black sweater, or it's a dress. So the question was like, well, but what if the story doesn't really have to do with climate change, right? And like, I'm interested, I'm concerned, but it doesn't really connect to climate change. Well, A, everything is connected to climate change. Because if the, in that the feeling that you have, what you're trying to express is not, I want you to understand climate change better. I want you to see what I'm feeling about climate change. And if I say, I'm feeling really scared about climate change, a lot of people can't connect to that. If you say, I feel really scared like I felt when I first started driving, suddenly people are like, oh, I know what that feeling's like. So you're having them connect not to the issues, but to a feeling. And they may relate to that feeling, and they may not, and they may not make the connection to climate change, but it's getting them emotionally engaged in the conversation so they can see climate change is an emotional issue, as well as an intellectual one. Does that make some sense? And it builds relationship, because hopefully this is not the last conversation that you have. And those ties we have last over the months and years, so that the next time they see you, they're closer to you. There's a wonderful expression in Norway, and when you hang out with someone, the next time you see them, the first thing they say is, thank you for the last time. Isn't that lovely? Thank you for the last time. All right, so Alexander. So when I think about climate change, it reminds me of?
It reminds me of the sense of shock and overwhelming sense when I found out I was going to lose my mom, so much like your story, Peterson.
How old were you at that time?
Can I just get on the mic? A minute. Okay, so I was about 18 years old. It was my first week in college. I went to the University of Pittsburgh, and I received a call from my grandma, who's the primary caregiver of my mom, saying that you have to come home, you have to be home with your mom. She's really not feeling well. Now, prior to this moment, throughout the last 2 years of high school, 16 and 17, I spent time, when I was told that she was sick with brain and lung cancer, I kind of took a step back, and I was very much distant and stayed away and visited places like the Tree of Souls and the Shire with my pipe and my friends instead of being with my mom. So in that moment when I finally came into the room and I saw that she was lying and couldn't open her eyes, and she opened her eyes for the last time to look at me and smiled. In that moment, I realized I was gonna lose her, but in that finally I felt those feelings of shock and overwhelmingness, and these are very much the similar feelings that I had when I finally was presented with the information about climate change, and that when I was like, wow, this has always been occurring, this has always been happening, but I'm finally waking up to it, and I'm finally able, and that those feelings of hopelessness and overwhelmingness went away when I joined CCL, and that when I became empowered in that situation.
Thank you. That was good. That was about a minute. That's good. No, and Lisa Van Susteren, who was on the show recently about mental health, she talks about that, about, you know, this like mass denial we have around climate change, and it takes so much time for that shock to hit us. And then there's that moment, and many of us know that moment. Thank you very much. Valerie, when I think about climate change, it reminds me of...
I take this? It reminds me of my mother, who grew up poor. She grew up in the Bronx, and they barely had anything. And so by the time she had myself and my brother and my sister, and we lived in Connecticut, one Christmas, she got out my dad's work boots, and she put them in the fireplace. And she backed the shoes out with the ashes on it, so it looked like Santa Claus had been there. And when we got to our, when we watched the footprints, and we got to our stockings, there were tickets to Disneyland. And we screamed and shouted. I was only 12, and we had never been off the East Coast. And so she was determined to make her children have a better experience than she did. And when I think about climate change, I feel like that. Like, I want my children to have a better experience on this earth than I did.
Thank you. What's lovely, Valerie, too, you put it within that context so we know like why that's so significant, and that's, and good storytelling does that, and that was very moving seeing those footprints. Well, thank you. Crystal, thanks for stepping up. So when I think about climate change, it reminds me of?
So when I wrote my first novel, I'm not a writer. I didn't have any experience writing short stories, never took a writing class, but I had this idea. I had a story that I wanted to tell. It was overwhelming. I was like, how am I even gonna do this? So I said, you're gonna take this and you're gonna break it down into manageable chunks. Every week you're gonna write 10,000 words over the course of the summer while your kids are at summer camp. And I did it. I wrote 80,000 words in 8 weeks. And then I went on over the course of 5 months polishing, and I finished a 100,000 word novel. I don't know if it's any good, but the point is, I did it. It was overwhelming, and I did it by breaking it down.
Yeah. Thank you. And what I love about this story, it's one of those that reminds us, this is not our first rodeo. Right? This is not the first time we've had to do something big. We already have developed strategies often to deal with big, overwhelming tasks. And this story sort of kind of reminds us of that and helps us get back to that. We have 1 minute left. Is there anything you wanted to say, an observation or in conclusion to the event? You don't feel obligated.
Well, I feel inspired by the stories that I've heard, and it makes me want to keep working on my own stories. So thank you all for your sharing your stories.
I just wanted to say thank you all for being here. CCL brings me hope, and I hope it brings you hope, too.
So I leave you with this task, one that you're probably already doing. We need to break the collective silence. Yale has identified this, that even people who are concerned about climate change are not talking about it. So that's our job. Wherever you can, talk about it. I don't think I have to say that much to this crowd. Remember that truth is more important than facts in your storytelling. So try to always identify, where's the truth of my story? And when you get a chance, listen to Citizens Climate Radio. There's lots of stories there, artists and people that you might not expect. And you can listen to it wherever you can listen to podcasts. If you want to talk more to me about this workshop, about what you want to share, I'm going to step outside, and I don't know how available you all are. Love to hear from that. And if you've got stuff to share, let us know. Thank you all very much for coming.